Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance and our friends at Straight Talk Wireless, where you can get the unlimited plan of 25 gigs for high-speed data, and of course 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So we got Jeff Passan coming up in less than 20 minutes. He'll give us the latest on this baseball thing. The baseball thing is getting crazy. Like, at the end of the day, these dudes are just losing their mind. Now, I still believe cooler heads will prevail, but it's starting to get crazy. We'll get into that in just a second. And Clint Yates is going to stop by for his weekly appearance at 10:40. Trudell's going to stop by at 11:40. I got to talk to Trudell. Bergman, Laura, let's start with you, Laura. Have you seen Mike Trudell on social media recently?
I have not seen him.
Bergman, have you seen Mike Trudell on social media recently?
No, I haven't.
He's got a huge porn stash right now.
No.
Huge porn stash. So I need to discuss this porn stash with him. So at 11:40, he's coming on to talk porn stash.
I saw your hair on social media, though.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah, that is pretty out of control. 2020?
My hair is long. I just wanted to show people how long it is. That was after that. That was me. If you go on my Twitter account, you'll see it from last night. It is me. It's after I dry my hair. You know what I mean? Like, and then before
I... Do you blow dry your hair? You just sit there with it.
No, I don't blow dry my hair. Why would I blow dry my hair?
I don't know.
So it's just me after I literally dried my hair with the towel, and it's just kind of sticking all up, and then once I comb it. So it's why the one thing, like when I did the Kamenetsky brothers thing, their late night show on Twitter... They were wondering why my hair looks so good. Well, I have straight hair, so that helps. Like, once you comb it, like, you're good. But anyway, we'll talk to Trudell about his porn stash. But let me start here with the NBA. All right, here's the situation. So I know everybody yesterday, and we touched on it briefly with Ramona, and she kind of shot it down for the most part about this World Cup proposal, playing group stages, and that's the way you solve the potential issues with the regional sports networks for the NBA because they owe them X amount of games and you got to get to 70 games or whatever. Look, man, let me explain something to you. There are teams in the NBA, like the Golden State Warriors, let's use them for an example, who might be in a very precarious situation, which we'll dive into in a moment. Teams like the Warriors, who just opened a brand new building, who were hoping to get revenue with that brand new building, even beyond basketball, concerts and things like that, who it will cost them more to potentially start up the season than just shutting it all down. It's why Steve Kerr has made the comments he's made over the last several weeks. Now, I think they'll be a good partner and do this, but that's the reason. They're already going to lose money by not having their building open. So writing a check for, like, the Warriors have played 65 games. So writing a check to their, NBC Sports Bay Area or whatever for five games, whatever. They're just going to chalk it up to another loss that they can write off. I honestly think that that's why teams like that look at it. It's just not worth their time from a financial perspective. So the other reason I hate the World Cup proposal is because you're bringing more teams into the bubble. My entire position on this damn thing has been stop bringing 30 teams. I've been very staunch on let's go with the least amount of teams possible. And I would go with just the 16 playoff teams. We've played 65, 66, whatever games, right? Anywhere between 63 and 67 games. There's no need to play more games. We have a large enough sample size. The last time there was a lockout shortened season in 2011, all the teams only played 66. What the hell are we talking about? So it's not like there isn't a precedent to all this stuff. And then you get into the challenges of the proposal of playing this World Cup stuff. Like, how do you even pull it off? Like, are we for real with this? So, I think that the way it happens is it needs to happen with a play-in tournament. Now, Ramona, was on yesterday on the on our show, but she mentioned this on the ESPN Daily podcast with Mina Kimes about the play-in tournament and why not every team is in on the play-in tournament.
Pretty much anyone I talk to in the league doesn't really like this idea of the play-in tournament because it's pretty unfair to the 7 and 8 seeds right now. Why should a team that was 3 or 4 games back get a realistic chance of passing them in the standings and taking their playoff spot just because we can't finish out the regular season all the way? It doesn't feel right for Dallas to give Portland or New Orleans or whoever you want is, or Sacramento a chance to make up 3.5-4 games in the standings when they probably wouldn't have been able to do it with the remaining 17 games in the schedule, right? Why is that fair?
So she's right in this sense. The Dallas part, and I understand why teams feel this way, and it's not her opinion, it's the team's opinions. The Dallas part sucks, and you're right, and that's why you should seed the teams 1 through 16. I've moved on that. Initially, when I saw it, I was like, and then I thought about it, and we talked about it just a couple days ago. 1 through 16 works. The issues before were travel. You don't have travel issues anymore. Play 1 through 16. You seed teams 17 through 20, which is Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio. Those four teams play against each other. One, you know, let's say Portland versus San Antonio, 17 versus 20, Pelicans versus Kings, you know, 18 versus 19. The winner of those, the lower seed, then plays the 16 seed, or excuse me, the lower seed plays Brooklyn, which is the 15 seed, and the highest seed of those four plays Orlando, which is the 16 seed. It's not that hard. And then the winner of that becomes the 15 and 16 seed. It's very similar to what the NCAA does with their play-in tournament. So think about it. Let's just make it easy. The 17 and 18 seeds. Let's say Portland beats San Antonio, New Orleans beats Sacramento. Now, Portland, okay, will play Orlando. Orlando gets the harder opponent because they're the lower seed. They're the 16. And then New Orleans, which is in theory the weaker opponent, plays the 15 seed with the Nets. It's not that hard. It's fairly simple. And then the winner of that, you reseed them again. Simple. And by the way, here's another thing the NBA should do. Reseed after every round. Because you might have upsets. And why not? Every other sport does it. The NFL does it. The NHL does it. Like, why can't the NBA do this? And by the way, the players, the teams may not want to play in tournament, but the players do. Here's Damian Lillard on Jalen and Jacoby telling you why.
I mean, I felt like the way the story was written, it was taken out of context because it was a casual conversation. And it was like, expletive this, expletive that. But it wasn't a demonstrative statement. I was just saying, you know, we've been off for 2 months. If we come back, we want to play for something. After this type of break, usually when you come back, especially with how fast we're going to be jumping into playing, you know, I think guys are at risk for injury. Also at risk of, you know, being exposed to whatever because, you know, none of us have been around each other. If so many teams are going to be in one spot. So it's so many things out there that, you know, we could be at risk of. So, I mean, if we're going to do it, obviously as players, we want to play, but we want to play for something, especially if we were in position to play for that in the first place. So I feel like a play-in tournament would be perfect just because we actually were in striking distance and also had enough games to get in the playoffs. But to that point, if they did decide that, you know, we're just going to go straight to the playoffs, obviously we would all be disappointed. But to this point, we haven't performed to be in that top 8. So if that's the case, then fine. But if we're going to just come back to play games, I feel like that would make it, you know, that'd be harder on everybody else.
Yeah. Just coming back and playing this round robin and all. I mean, what are we talking about here? Like, why are you adding more people? Why are you adding more games? Like, I get the financial aspect of that. But at some point, you have to be frugal here. And you have to be practical and realistic, okay? The smaller amount, as far as the teams are concerned, is the safest way to do it. It's the cheapest way to do it for the league, okay? And potentially even for some of the teams. The World Cup proposal, again, you're finding yourself in a situation where you're okay, let's say you have to pick. I think the proposal says something to the effect of you're getting the top couple of teams in there or whatever. And then after that, how are you deciding? Like, how are you deciding who moves on, when, where, and how? I went at it. Not at it. I mean, I had this discussion with Kevin O'Connor. I know he was on Mason in Ireland yesterday, who was the guy at The Ringer who wrote this. Good reporter. And I asked him very simple, like, what do you do? Like, how do you reseed after the World Cup play? After you do pool play? And he's like, well, the top 20 teams are in five tiers. Then a random draw, one team from each tier into four groups. Seven-game series matchup reseed, top seeds versus low seeds. And I'm like, what? You lost me at random draw. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I just don't understand why we need to make this more difficult than we need to. You know, the group stage obviously is straightforward, but then all of a sudden teams, after they play the group stage, you know, have to pick, like, they can draft the team they're going to play in a seven-game series, or you do a random draw. Like, I just don't think that makes sense. Like, I think that is way more confusing than it needs to be. And I love soccer, okay? Like, I'm a soccer fan. I think it works for them. But there's too much radical change going on. If you can make it something that basketball fans understand, and basketball fans understand the play-in tournament. Why? Because the NCAA has done it for a number of years now. It's that simple. It's not that hard. Speaking of not that hard, it's really not that hard for baseball players to understand, or it shouldn't be too hard for baseball players to understand that you need to learn to read the room. And that has been my constant message. Look, Max Scherzer made some comments yesterday on social media, okay? Max Scherzer, his comments weren't wrong, okay? Here's what he said. He posted on Twitter yesterday. After discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with Major League Baseball in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in a version of a prorated salary, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. So let me dissect this real quick for you, okay? Number one. He's not wrong. He's right. The players did negotiate a pay cut, a prorated version of their salaries based on the amount of games that are going to be played. The owners want to do it, as we've talked about, based on revenue, which isn't fair. I agree with the players. However, why are you continually negotiating this stuff on social media? Why are you going on Twitch if you're Blake Snell? Why are you going on Twitter if you're Max Scherzer? You are right, but you're not going to win in the court of public opinion because you can't read the room. These conversations need to be private. I understand it's hard for 1,100 ball players in Major League Baseball to keep things quiet, but now is the time, if any, to do it. Because, as I've stated before, the owners came out of the gate talking about finances and pay cuts. And you took the bait, hook, line, and sinker, beginning with your Major League Baseball Players Association rep and Tony Clark, who's clearly in over his head, right? Clearly in over his head. And then the players doing the same thing. I'm with you. You should get half your pay because you're going to play 82 games. You shouldn't subsidize the owner's losses because they're billionaires, okay? That's on them. It's their responsibility. I'm with you on that. What I'm not with you on is constantly doing this on social media. You're not going to win that. That is a losing proposition. And I'm not the only one who believes this. I may be in the minority, but I know I'm not the only one. I think we've talked about this with you guys on the phones. The overwhelming majority agreed. And I think that you would agree it's not cut and dry. The proposal for the players is terrible, and the owners are being greedy. But the owners baited the players into looking more greedy than them, which is mind-boggling to me that they continue to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Like, what are you doing? Look, I was watching First Take, and I thought Max laid it out perfectly as far as the players' part is concerned.
That's a trash proposal. I mean, it's obnoxious, in fact. Look, we're playing fewer games, we'll prorate our salaries, so you can save that money. That's reasonable. You know, as essentially a form of business partners, that's absolutely reasonable. By the way, Major League Baseball gets about a third, more or less, of its revenue from attendance, and they make almost $11 billion a year. So they get like 3-point-something billion from attendance. But that leaves a whole lot of billions that have nothing to do with attendance. You know what the players make altogether? $4 billion. According to my calculations, that leaves over $6 billion. Oh, but you're going to lose games this season. Okay, $3 billion to spill. What are the owners going to do with only $3 billion to go around? Matter of fact, there are 30 teams, only $3 billion, a meager $100 million per owner on average. How will they make do? Hey, players, can you kick a little into the kitty? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I'm with Max. But it should be me and Max. Right? Gas bags like us arguing for them. Except I can't do it because they keep putting their foot in their mouths. Look, I've always thought in a negotiation, and I've had several over the years, okay? Both at this company and other places. You don't negotiate in public. You don't. You don't do that. More times than not, historically, you can watch, whether it's sports, whether it's labor disputes as far as the entertainment business or in finance or in the industrial business. For the most part, negotiating that stuff in public is a losing proposition. And this is no different. So what is the latest? How much trouble are we in with baseball? We'll ask Jeff Passan, who will stop by in 2.5 minutes. Stick around, Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, friend of the program, will join us. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. It is National Work From Home Day. Laura does a great job of letting us know the national days. But I feel like that's been every day for the last 3 months. Passan, fair to say we should just be celebrating that every day for the last few months?
I've been celebrating National Work From Home Day for the last 15 years. So I actually, this whole thing has been ingrained in my life for so long that when people were like coming out with rules for work at home, man, get dressed in the morning. Are you kidding? Like, I spend all day in sweats and it's great. You don't have to look professional if you're working at home. The whole point is that you don't look professional.
You know what? I'm glad you brought up sweats because we had this discussion on the show and it became a very contentious discussion here amongst the audience, amongst the people on the show. Do you, Jeff Passan, wear sweatpants to the grocery store?
Oh, God, yes.
Thank you.
Why would you, who doesn't? Who's against sweats at the grocery store?
Greg Bergman, would you like to make a quick case? Quick is the point here.
Yes, quick is the point. I've been told by my girlfriend, don't presentable.
Greg, don't even bother. There's no case to be made here. None.
Well, you heard what he said. His girlfriend told him he has to wear pants to go to the grocery store.
You know what I say to your girlfriend? Break up with her now.
Whoa!
over sweatpants. I got it. All right. Hey,
good Lord. Hey, that could hurt during the quarantine.
Dude. If your girlfriend is trying to control your leisure wear, how long have you been together?
4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years? Oh, my Lord. You are so screwed, dude. You are.
She just says, hey, look a little presentable. Wear regular pants or wear shorts, but don't wear sweatpants.
Look
That's
presentable?
It.
Why? You're at the grocery store. Are you trying to impress the rutabaga?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I've been saying. And you know what it is, Jeff? Here's what I figured out. There is a line, right? I think that once you are secure in your own life, like whatever that is, and you have no insecurities, you don't have, like, you just do whatever you want. And your significant other just understands that's who you are. That's who they're with. That's who they married. And it works both ways.
Yeah. I have a very binary existence when it comes to clothing. I am either cusp of homeless or dapper. And sometimes, like, I'm both right now. Like, when I'm about to go on TV, I have, like, the suit jacket and the shirt and the tie up top and, like, sweatpants on the bottom.
Yeah.
So I have found the best of both worlds.
Good for you. Good for you to find the middle ground. All right. Speaking of middle ground, let's figure this thing out here, you and I. So you and I, the last time we were on together, I was telling you, or we had started, but we didn't finish because we had to go to break. So we got a couple minutes here. I agree. Let me just start this on the front end. I agree with the player's premise. I agree with Max Scherzer. Like, they shouldn't have to prorate their salaries even further. However, and I know this is hard with 1,100 members in one union in Major League Baseball, but good God, can we just keep it quiet? Like, I understand if you're reporting it, right? I understand if, you know, Buster Olney and Tim, that's your jobs, right? But to go out there publicly to do it on social media, I just feel like that's such a losing proposition, especially with what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that the players feel really almost emboldened right now. And that, you know, players always feel like they're in the right. Owners always feel like they're in the right. But in this situation, I think because of just how bad the offer was from MLB on Tuesday, you know, cutting Mike Trout's pay from, it would have been $37 million at the start of the season, $19 million prorated under this plan, $5.7 million. I mean, Mike, you see Mike Trout every day. Mike Trout's the best player in the world right now. Mike Trout might end up at the end of his career being the best baseball player who's ever lived. Like, there's a distinct possibility that that's true. And beyond that, he is like a paragon of a human being too. And that's the person that you want to take a 70% haircut? Like, it just, it's a hard thing for players to swallow, and I think they felt like if they did not punch back in the form of a guy who in Max Scherzer has a lot of gravitas and is accomplished and is going to be a Hall of Famer himself, that they just wouldn't have been doing it the right way. Is that the right strategy? I don't know. I think we'll see over time. But I think when you're dealing with a bunch of billionaire owners, people who don't generally have responses to them of any kind of contention, that going back at them and essentially punching them in the face might actually earn a little bit of respect. It might also kill the baseball season, but, you know, neither here nor there.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up. What are the chances of killing the baseball season or potentially playing a baseball season right now? Like, I know that you've been fairly positive. But things change. This is all fluid.
Yeah, I think they're worse than they were yesterday, but and I don't think they're worse than they were yesterday because the rhetoric is particularly substantive. I think it's because the more time that is spent without either party offering some sign of détente, the likelier it is that the hardline groups on both sides are going to dig in hard and that the clock is just going to run out on a season. And I suppose if worst comes to worst, they could come back in August or even in September and run a quick, you know, round robin tournament before the playoffs, or just do a playoffs rather than having any kind of a regular season. They could do something like that, but man, at that point, I have a difficult time believing the players are going to want to do something like that. So the window's here, man. It's open. It's now. And these next 10 days, I said it on Get Up earlier this week, This has a chance to be the most consequential week in Major League Baseball since 1994. And so far, it is proving itself out to be.
Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, best in the business, joining us here. You mentioned the clock and 10 days. What is like the drop dead date here?
I don't know that there's a drop dead, but I do know that they want to get to spring training 2.0 by June 10th. And that in order to do that, you got to start flying guys back into the country, and that they're going to be intake screenings for coronavirus testing, you know, the 7th and 8th and 9th. And so getting guys back to where they need to be, figuring out all of the logistics behind that is not something that you'd like to do in a short period of time, and yet something that they may be forced to do if they don't come to an agreement sooner than later.
Are they still in on playing at home parks? Like, is that still the plan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is in as many places as they can. That is absolutely the plan. And I think those many places are going to be determined ultimately by the time July rolls around, if they can get a deal in place. But right now, that is absolutely the plan going ahead.
And was that really motivated more by some of the star players like Kershaw and Trout kind of taking a stance that they didn't want to play in a bubble atmosphere?
Yeah, there was that. But I think more than anything, you know, regional sports networks, which are going to be paying a lot of money to broadcast these games, wanted them to be in home stadiums. And that right there was a pretty strong motivating factor.
So my last question, I guess, then for you is this. If do you believe that we will see a 82-game season? Like, what the amount of games, like, if you had to project, let's say things get done, all right? What do you think happens? Is it 82? Is it? I know there's been talk about 100. Is it less? Like, what do you expect the season to look like as far as the amount of games and how, you know, how teams will schedule their games?
The reason MLB has an 82-game schedule is because they're fearful that a second wave of the coronavirus is going to come around and get rid of the postseason, and that if the postseason is done, that's, you know, a giant chunk of its national television money that's missing. They're going to expand the playoffs this year specifically to go get more money. And so to lose that would be absolutely devastating and catastrophic for baseball, which is why when the players come back and they ask for 100 or 110 or even 120 games, they do so with the idea of playing into November, which their March agreement with the league says they can do. You know, you start this season as soon as you can and you play as many games as you can. And I think that what could happen, and this has been discussed in some circles, is they could say, hey, we're going to play 100 games, pay us our full pro rata for 82 of them and defer X amount. And, you know, that's how a deal comes together. And I don't know, it might not be the Players Association who proposed it. It might be Major League Baseball that proposed this. But there is somewhere in the middle for them to meet, just a matter of how they're going to get there.
Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, the best in the business, joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Jeff, as always, thanks for your insight on Major League Baseball and, in this case, on sweatpants.
Yeah, Greg, like, just wear the sweatpants. See how it goes. Report back and know that this will be the best thing that you ever did.
All right, Bergman, take the man's advice. He's a happily married man. Set the tone.
See how it goes.
Set the tone, okay? There you go. All right, Passan. Thanks, man. Stay safe. Oh, there you go. He's gone. All right. So there you have it. So there could be some middle ground. But coming up next, we have the all-encompassing thing that we all love come football season, the quarterback tier conversation. Find out how disrespected Jared Goff was in this tier conversation. We'll get to that and why Damian Lillard thinks LeBron is your MVP. We'll get to that in just a moment. Stick around. Sedano, back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you miss any one of our interviews, including the very informative one with Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, Check out the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% on grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? So Clinton Yates is going to join us in about 12 minutes, so stick around for that. He's got some strong opinions on Major League Baseball. I want to get his thoughts on the NBA stuff. I do want to get to this quarterback tier thing, because Jared Goff was definitely disrespected in just a second. But first, so Laura and Greg, I'm sure you've all been in this situation before where you meant to send a text to someone, but you sent it to the wrong person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did one yesterday. Now, it wasn't bad. Thank God. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't a bad thing. I meant to send a screenshot of something from Twitter, and I was fiddling around, and my kid hit my phone, and I took the screenshot. It kind of moved my phone back to the text message, and I took the screenshot of the text message, and I wasn't paying attention, so I sent the screenshot back, and it was just the screenshot of our text message that I had with this particular person. And then immediately was like, oh, crap, I sent that. And I said, sorry, I meant to actually send this screenshot from Twitter. Kid hit my phone, and it hit at the wrong time. And it was fine, but I was just like, good God, like how – like so immediately the first thing I did, like as I was doing that, I was Googling, like, can you take back iMessage? Can you delete iMessage after it sends delivered? And you can't. Why can't Apple just do that? If someone hasn't read it, like, let's go. Like, get rid of it.
That would be amazing.
That would be. The thing that is interesting there is most of the time, if you take a picture, a screenshot of a text message, that means you're sending that text message to somebody else.
No, normally. And that's why I didn't want him to think that. So I mean, look, you could tell because I responded immediately. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, oh, my bad. I meant to send you this. That wasn't that. And it was like literally within like less than a minute, you know, like 30 seconds.
Right, I really hope that you weren't saying some like important thing, like he was telling you something.
No. It was a joke. Like, it was just like a fun joke back and forth. There was actually nothing on the text exchange that would be damning. But it was just like, it just happened that way. Like, literally, my son swiped at my phone as I was sending this, and I was hitting the buttons to do the screenshot, and it flipped it back to the text message screen. And then I looked at him, so I didn't see what was taken until after I immediately just, you know, I'm like kind of talking to him, and I'm like half looking at my phone and half talking to him. And then I just sent the screenshot, and I was like, oh, wrong screenshot. But yeah, like, it could have been terrible had it been something that he was actually talking about of real consequence.
Right. What if he was like complaining about his significant other and
no, I know.
And then you sent a screenshot.
No, it was literally just us having, it was literally just us making fun of each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like a fun back and forth between two friends. And then I meant to send him this screenshot on Twitter is what I was trying to do. And eventually I did that too. But yeah, it just was, yeah. But I was wondering, like, why can't Apple just let us take that back? Like, does Android let you take it back?
I have no idea. Do you have an Android, Laura?
I don't. I have an iPhone.
Yeah, she has an iPhone.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I have no idea with Android. But it's the same thing with Twitter. Like, as much as, you know how you sometimes you
there's no edit button. Yes.
There's no edit button, which I get on Twitter, because then people are just going to edit the hell out of everything that they write. Be like, I never said that. So, it's I can understand it. I don't know if you can do it on Android.
Yeah, but why does Instagram be able to get away with an edit button and nobody seems to care?
Does Instagram have an edit button?
They do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have no idea.
Greg.
Yeah.
I don't use Instagram.
And by the way, it could be the last day of Twitter anyway, so make sure you get off whatever you need to get off, you know, on Twitter. So,
What is that about? What do you mean this last day of Twitter? I keep seeing this.
It's a joke because the president of the United States was not happy with Twitter.
Gotcha.
But the reality is, can someone explain to me, someone who works in tech, can someone call me and explain to me, or someone who's just like a tech nerd, why you can't just, if it's delivered and yet not read, like, why can't you just take something back and delete it? Because you can delete it from your screen. You just can't delete it from the people who received it. Like, why is that not possible? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Greg, did you just ask Laura if she has an Android when we are on a constant text message exchange and all our clouds are blue?
And we have FaceTime.
Yeah, we did have a FaceTime. I don't know.
And we FaceTimed. Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
Like, gonna,
because there's
is
nothing
that,
worse.
Is that the thing you're going to pick on today? Thanks a lot, Chris Morales, by saying that.
No offense to It's a great point. No offense to the Android folks, but when you get that green bubble, like, and it's just the most annoying thing ever.
I know what it means. It's just one of those, like, I was not thinking about what kind of phone Laura had. I'm sorry, that wasn't at the top of my brain.
It's okay.
I get it, Greg. Yes. I get it.
Yes. Anyway, so I want some tech nerds to help us out here at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So CBS Sports did their quarterback tier, Bergman. And this year, in their tier one, which is the bona fide franchise quarterbacks, they have Patrick Mahomes, no shock, Lamar Jackson, no shock, Russell Wilson, no shock, Deshaun Watson, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Carson Wentz in there, and Ben Roethlisberger. Now, look, Carson Wentz pre-injury was maybe the front runner for MVP, but last year, coming back from the injury, didn't look as great. So that I think that's a bit of a leap of faith on their part. And Ben, look, I think when Ben's healthy, he's still really good, but that's a question to me. Is he going to be healthy? But look, he's proven. He's won two Super Bowls. Like, I get it. The other part they have is tier two, top pros, proven winners. And here's where I'm like, So Matt Ryan, okay, top pro, and he got to a Super Bowl, like, you know, whatever. Matt Stafford, I mean, I guess top pro, right? Like, but clearly not a proven winner, right? Dak Prescott. And listen, I think Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. So he's not a proven winner. And yes, he's coming off a really good season, but I feel like that's just one season. So I'm already down on this particular list already. Then tier three, rising stars, Kyler Murray, Jimmy Garoppolo. I got no problem with that. Kyler Murray, I think, is going to be a beast. And, you know, I think Garoppolo's okay. I think, you know, the jury's still out. So I'm okay with rising star. Here's where it gets interesting. Tier four, quote, you can win with them. So, like, basically, you can win with them if everything goes right. Derek Carr, your boy. Ryan Tannehill, which I guess was proven this past season is possible. Kirk Cousins. Baker Mayfield, not there yet on him. Josh Allen, not there yet on him. Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, I guess so. Like, Teddy Bridgewater was really damn good last year, and he did get the Vikings to the playoffs. So, you know what? I'm going to say okay. I'd actually say more so Teddy Bridgewater than the last two guys I just mentioned, in Mayfield and Allen. Jared Goff is on this list. Phillip Rivers, Tyrod Taylor. That you can win games with them. Like, you can make the playoffs with them. I mean, you got to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Like, I feel like Jared Goff is in a prove-it type year. Now, it's funny I chose those words. And the reason I chose those words, Laura, we have some Baker Mayfield sound. So Baker Mayfield, who's on this same, in this same group, this tier four group with Jared Goff, made some comments that finally sound like what a quarterback should sound like in the National Football League. For as much as I love Baker's bravado, I think sometimes he just goes over the top. Here's what Baker said in a Zoom call with the media here yesterday.
I have a different approach to this year. Everybody that has been interviewed in our team has kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head over and over about, you know, it's just time to work. It's time to do our thing instead of talking about it. First media thing I've done, just because there's no need to be talking about it. It's just time to go do it. And right now it's, you know, kind of moving in silence, which is fine with me. That's how I used to do it before getting on a bigger stage. So I'm happy to get back to those roots.
So he's right. Like, he absolutely should take that approach, because I think until you win something, you probably should, you know, you could show bravado and get your team fired up. But talking the type of talk that he was talking, where, like, they were going to win the Super Bowl, like, there was some, like, you know, I mean, I don't know if you remember listening to when I was, talking about this in the afternoon show, Greg, but, like, I didn't understand all the Browns hype last year. I didn't understand the Baker Mayfield hype. Like, I've never been a huge fan. Like, I think he's fine. I think he's like a poor man's Drew Brees. But I don't think, like, he's some sort of superstar. I think his mouth, it sounds like a superstar. But his point about you just got to forget about talking about it. You just got to go out there and do it and prove it. I think for Jared Goff, because there's been so many different guys, right, in the media and even in pro sports, like in his sport, that have said, you know, that have varying opinions on Jared Goff. Like, he's either, man, he's on the rise, or it's like, eh, he's not as good as we think he is, and the Rams made a big mistake in paying him. So I think that it is a prove-it year for Jared Goff. Are you a system quarterback, like some people say? Like, you only can succeed because McVay put the perfect pieces around you and he was able to do that? Or can you mature and take some of the reins and responsibility yourself and prove to people that you deserve to have been the number one pick and you deserve to have gotten the contract you got? I think it is absolutely a prove-it year for Jared Goff.
Yeah, I mean, I could absolutely it is, especially now that he finally doesn't have Todd Gurley there to kind of bail him out for what he's been doing. But going back to Baker Mayfield for a second, Baker, when he was at Oklahoma, I wouldn't say he let his play do the talking. He was very good, but he talked.
Well, and I think he was talking about pre-Oklahoma is what I think.
Because
he was at Texas Tech before that and then transferred and all that, right?
Like, right, yeah. Like your high school years don't really count as talking.
I would agree, but yes.
Yeah. But I mean, Jared Goff, having him in that far down in the tier list is a little disrespectful.
I mean, he made a Super Bowl.
Right. So to have him all the way down where, like, just a tier above Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
He's much better than all of those guys.
Let me grab Zach real quick. Is Zach there? Because he has an Android and he wants to fill us in on if you can you can delete your text messages, like, once they get sent, if the person hasn't read them. Does Android have that option or no?
So Android also does not have that. You can delete your own, but you can't delete the other person's. But WhatsApp, on WhatsApp, you can. You can delete a whole thing from a conversation. It will show up on everybody's feed on WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah. I have WhatsApp, and I have seen that.
You're on right. an internet-based thing, because your phone, your data is only for your phone. You can't have any control over someone else's phone, but on an internet thing, I'm not a techie, so I don't know. But I'm assuming it's because it's an internet connection versus an individual data connection.
That makes sense. Total sense, Zach. And I'm sure if it doesn't make sense, someone will call up. But I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you, and stay safe. So there you have it. All right. What's the worst situation you've been in that you've sent a text to the wrong person? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll ask Clinton Yates about that and his thoughts on Major League Baseball and the NFL quarterback tier and the NBA proposals about the World Cup draw, like a World Cup-style draw, or does he want the play-in tournament? All that stuff with Clinton in less than 2 minutes. 90 seconds. We're back. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by our friends at the Navy Federal Credit Union, where they have one mission: to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. Clinton Yates going to join us here in a second, giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So we were just talking about the worst potential text snafu that you've ever had. Clinton Yates, are you there?
I am here. What's up?
So we were just talking about how I was texting back and forth with a friend of mine yesterday, and we were just kind of having some fun with each other, and I saw something on Twitter that was applied to what we were discussing, okay. And I was going to screenshot it, and then my son smacked my hand where my phone was. My thumb must have slid back to where the text message was, and the screenshot was of the text message. So while I'm messing with my son, I'm not really paying attention, so I send him the screenshot, realize, oh, I sent him the text message screenshot, and then I quickly then took the screenshot of what I meant to send on Twitter, said, hey, this is what I meant to send. My kid hit my hand. Here's what I meant to send you. And he didn't think anything of it, but it could have been way worse is what I'm saying. What is your worst text snafu where you meant to send something to someone else, but you send it to the wrong person?
I don't know that I'm at liberty to discuss that. I mean,
you don't have to give names.
I know, but yeah. Let me ask you this. Why are you so concerned about this? I've been listening to the show. You've been talking about this, like, with this Zapruder level film breakdown of how this text got sent. I think most people in 2020, George, you're exactly right. They don't care. Even if you're sending somebody else something that I said, you see what I'm saying? I'm not going to be that worried about it. Like, I sort of feel like everything is kind of fair game unless there's some real concern that something you said was going to be that problematic. But for me, it's not that big a deal.
Well,
what is a big deal, though, if I may switch gears here.
Yeah.
Greg, sweat shorts are the name of the game here. Okay. That's the way to go. I have a variety of flavors. They make these things in colors that look good, not just ones that look bad. You should rock that.
See, that's the important thing. As long as you look good, you look put together, and Laura can back me up on that. It was not like a raggedy T-shirt and you know sweatpants from Target that are like $5. I think that's not a good look. So that's it's. All
I also
about-
don't feel like you could rock sweatshorts. I got to be honest with you.
Me,
I rock sweatshorts
Come
everywhere.
On.
Now, Clinton,
Alex Ovechkin threw out first pitch one time at Nationals Park and rocked sweatshorts. Yeah. It was a good look. So for me, it's sweatshorts. Yes, Aaron text messages, no big deal.
Yeah, Clinton can rock sweatshorts. I don't know if you can.
Nope.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Look, I don't think it was that big a deal. Like we kept talking, like it was fine. Like,
that's good. I'm glad he didn't go around.
If he was all that angry about it, I feel like it would have come up later in the continued text message for the next 20 minutes. But it didn't. But yeah, like I just know that. Like my thing was, it is weird though because the other stuff has happened to me where I literally have sent something to the wrong person and
right.
I've been like, oh no. And it's the worst thing when you see on your iPhone that blue line and you're like, oh no, I can't stop the blue line. And then it's
Bro,
sent.
I mean, that's why, you know, listen, WhatsApp, like that caller was talking about, that's the way to go. You know what I'm saying? That's much safer than everything else.
Laura, what's your worst situation in that spot?
So I'm really cool with an ex, and I was texting an ex and my current whatever, and I accidentally sent my text meant for my current whatever to my ex, and my ex was very happy, and I was like, oh, that's, I won't air what I said, but I was like, oh, that was not meant for
you. That's not so great.
No.
Yeah. I don't know if you can spin that one, Yates.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's why texting with exes is exactly what it sounds like, playing with daggers. Swimming with sharks, if you will. But,
Friends.
You know, I don't judge. Things happen. Yeah. Live your life.
Yeah. Bergman, you have a woman Mason in Ireland when you were producing them?
Yeah, when I was producing them, they were kind of at odds with each other over something, and I was talking to each of them. And so I was I meant to text Mason, like, oh, I just told him that you're fine and like just don't even worry about it. But then I sent it to John instead. And So John realized that Mason was upset with him and it became a thing.
Oh,
but then they started
gosh.
Talking to each other and they got over it. So it actually worked out.
Nice.
That's funny. That's
funny. Dicey though.
It is dicey. I don't disagree. Hey, did you hear the quarterback tier thing I just did?
I did, and you guys get so upset about this quarterback tier thing. And let me ask you this. How much is making a Super Bowl you don't win actually worth? That's always my question with this, because it's led them to a Super Bowl. It's sort of the whole kind of trick is that it kind of sounds like, oh, you won a Super Bowl, but it's not really that. And a lot of the quarterbacks who have led guys to Super Bowls aren't necessarily, I mean, Jake DeLome led a team to a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? There's certain guys where you think, okay, just because you've got the money and just because you've done that once doesn't necessarily mean that you're living up to your expectation. And while I don't think Goff is not living up to his expectation, I think some of these rankings are fair. There are guys who are going to be able to compete week in and week out at the same level he is if their talent levels are the same around them. And I'm not finding this tier list that disrespectful to Goff. Quite honestly, I'm not.
I do think it's it does hype up Dak a little more than I would feel comfortable with.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm not sold on Dak. I don't think the Cowboys are sold on Dak, which is why this thing hasn't happened yet. And it should have happened a season ago, if you ask me. So, look, Goff is a guy who still has a lot to show me, you know, and not because I don't believe in him specifically, but because I don't believe that this team is going to get better until he does individually as well. I say it all the time. Worst coach position in the league is quarterback. He's a guy that still has a lot of improvement, and that's not a bad thing because he's already a pretty good signal caller.
Clint Yates hanging out with us. Clint, where are you on the NBA proposals? Like, I hate the World Cup thing. I'm not a fan of it. It's just too complicated. Once you get beyond the group stage, like there's this notion of you randomly draw teams to play against each other in the next round, or the team gets to draft the other team. Like, let's just keep it. I like 1 through 16. I do like that. If we're going to make any changes, do that, because travel is not an issue. And if you want to do the play in 17 through 20, let those guys play around. Then the winners play 15 and 16, and then that's 15 and 16, and then let's go, similar to what they do in the NCAA tournament. Where are you on the different proposals?
So a lot of those do fall into the category of gimmicky for me, although I am not an anti-gimmicky person. Now, there's a lot of people who have come out and said, oh, the World Cup thing, that's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous, but the reason why you do that in a tournament like that is different than why you would do it in the NBA. The reason why you do it in the World Cup is because teams are not familiar with each other. They don't play each other. So the simple notion of who's going to be facing whom is far more exciting than it would be in the NBA, where we are already familiar with all the teams and they play each other regularly. So the draw there to me is not the same. The play-in tournament, okay. I mean, if that's what we want to do to get guys in better shape, that's cool. But I'm still at where I think you were at before. Give me straight to the playoffs.
Right.
1 through 16, that's fine. If that's what we want to do, if that's how we want to modify things, that's okay. But I don't need that, you know? I said on Highly Questionable earlier this week, the true bang-up job would be to totally change the format. And my ridiculous idea is opening round, one game, three games, five-game conference finals, seven-game NBA finals. That's not going to happen, but that would be a fun one if you had the interest of time and really shaking things up in mind. However, the NBA playoffs are the best tournament in America. So I don't need to mess with it if we don't actually have to, because the way that it works is just fine with me. And with no travel schedule and no travel dates, it's going to move a lot quicker, and the competition will probably be better too. So I hope they stick with that.
We need to send you a battery for this.
I don't know what's going on here. I literally got in here and this thing is going off and it's driving me insane.
Well, it's a battery.
Like a jerk.
It's the battery.
I know, but I've never even heard this do this before, and it's beeping in here and then out there. So I'm going to try to fix this during the break, but it is driving me nuts. Golly.
Yeah, it is funny. I was wondering.
It's not making me laugh, and I feel like it. Anyway, sorry.
All right, so here's the deal. We're going to be back in 2.5 minutes, and I got to talk about my buddy Jacob and Ronnie, so you go get yourself
a battery. I'm going to try to pit stop fix this just like the NASCAR race that's happening tonight. I'll be right back.
And we'll talk Major League Baseball with you, because I know that you're very fired up about that. So we'll do that in a second. But first, as Clinton fixes his battery on his fire alarm, back in 2.5 minutes.